Grace and peace to you from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is said that the most American things are hot dogs, apple pie, and baseball. There are few who don't enjoy a good Frankfurter, a slice of apple pie, and a lazy summer afternoon watching a game of baseball. I can remember playing baseball as a little guy many years ago, playing catch with Dad, running around the bases. And as I've shared with our staff here over the past few weeks, I've enjoyed baseball a little bit more in watching our son. You see, our son's baseball team hasn't won a single game all year. They lost every single game. Everyone. That is until a couple weeks ago when the Little League City Tournament started, and then all of a sudden, by a strange act of God, they decided to start winning. So it was fun to see the kids, instead of walking out from the game dejected and saying how bad they are, they got to enjoy the sweet savor of what it means to have a victory. And they won every single game in the tournament except on Thursday when they played for the championship. And they lost. So it was a fun run. It was a very fun run. And those smiles, they turned to tears as they lost that championship game. And how did they lose that championship game? Well, they lost when the bases were loaded. And probably one of the biggest 10-year-olds I've ever seen stepped up to the plate and knocked that ball clear over the left fielder's head. Now, one of the most high-stress, high-reward situations in baseball is when the bases are loaded. If you're a pitcher, this can be very stressful, but if you're a batter, I think it's even more stressful for you. If the bases are loaded, you have the opportunity to completely change the outlook of the game. With one swing of the bat, you can put your team ahead or get your team caught up. But also with one swing of the bat, if you swing, miss, and whiff, you strike out with the bases loaded, you can't help but to feel that you've let your team down, let all the fans down. Striking out with the bases loaded is a forgettable moment, not a memorable one. I can remember every home run I hit in Little League. There wasn't that many, that's why I can remember them. But I don't remember the times that I struck out with the bases loaded, and I guarantee you that I did that more than on one occasion. As we look at our gospel lesson for today and wonder what in the world baseball has to do with this text, I ask you, who is striking out with the bases loaded here in our passage? Metaphorically speaking, of course. Is it Jesus that strikes out with the bases loaded, or is it the people of Nazareth? We read in our passage that Jesus is in his own hometown of Nazareth. And we also read at the end of the passage how he could do little because of their lack of faith. They warmly welcomed him first, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, Frank and Fran down the street, Tom and Tammy around the corner. The gang was all there to see Jesus, to listen to him, and hear what he had to say. We read how they were astonished at Jesus, what he was saying. But as we know from experience, someone can be astonished in two ways. In a good way, like when someone hits a grand slam and how astonishing that can be, but also in a bad way, like striking out when the bases are loaded. These people of Nazareth are astonished, but in a bad way. You can hear the sarcasm in their words, can't you? Isn't this Jesus, the carpenter? And isn't his mother Mary? We know Mary. We know the unseemly events surrounding her birth, her conception of this man, Jesus, who is before us. We know her, and we also know all of her kids, Judas and Joseph and all the rest and all the sisters too. We know that family. Who does this Jesus think he is? We notice that Joseph isn't mentioned here. More likely than not, Joseph had died by this time. The average life expectancy in the ancient Mediterranean world was about 40 years old. So what we see next is telling when Jesus says, in response to all this sarcasm, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own hometown, among his relatives, among his own household." Early in Mark, we heard about how Jesus' own family at that time thought he was crazy and tried to restrain him because they thought he was going out of his mind, all this preaching and teaching and healing that he was doing. And now the ones who think that Jesus really isn't that much are those who knew him best. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and all the rest. They think they know Jesus when in actuality they don't know Jesus at all. So again, I ask you, who struck out here? Was it Jesus and his failure to convince his old hometown that he is the long-awaited Savior, the prophet, the Messiah who has come to deliver the world from sin, death, and the power of the devil? Or was it the people of Nazareth? Before them was God clothed in skin and bone. Before them was someone who they thought they knew so well that they refused to hear what he had to say, refused to give an open ear to his preaching. I'll give you a hint. It wasn't Jesus who struck out here. It was the people of Nazareth. They struck out on their day of visitation. And because they struck out so tragically here, we even hear a more tragic ending, that Jesus could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few people, healing a few of the sick. And then also we hear that he marveled. He marveled at their unbelief. Now, it wasn't because Jesus didn't have the power to do mighty work that he didn't do mighty work in Nazareth. It was because the people of Nazareth didn't want that mighty work done there. And so Jesus and the disciples, they do what they must now. And so they must move on, go somewhere else. Martin Luther once said the following. So frustrated with his German people. Perhaps you've heard this before. He once wrote about 500 years ago, "Germany has never before heard so much of God's word as it is hearing today. If we let it slip by without thanks and honor, I fear we shall suffer a still more dreadful plague and darkness. God's word and grace is like a passing rain shower, which does not return where it has once been. You Germans need not think that you will have it forever, for ingratitude and contempt will not make it stay. Therefore, seize it, hold it fast, whoever can, for lazy hands are bound to have a lean year." According to a study done in 2011 by Gallup, the percentage of people in Germany who still attend worship is 13%, or about 11 million people out of 83 million. After the coronavirus pandemic, the numbers are probably significantly lower than that. Other former bastions of Lutheran faith, places like Norway and Sweden, only have about 5% of their population in worship to hear Christ and to receive his gifts. And what about our own hometown? Our old stomping grounds, the great U.S. of A., a place that made hot dogs and apple pie and baseball so famous. How are we doing? In that same study, again, done about 10 years ago, we were at about 44%. Another more recent study from 2017, also from Gallup, says that we have slipped down to 38%. And who knows what the numbers are after this pandemic? Now, the ever important question is this: what does this mean? It seems like we Americans are striking out more and more with the bases loaded. Or to use Luther's image, the rain cloud seems to be passing us by. And it's easy to get discouraged, especially when you know of friend or family that may have rejected Jesus, either by their words or by their lack of presence in the Lord's house. But today isn't a day to be discouraged, because God is here, as he promises to be this day and every Lord's Day. Christ is here in word and sacrament for you, for all sinners, pouring out his life into this world, into this church, into this town, and he still continues to do so, even though so many people may reject him. Just like how Jesus was rejected in Nazareth. Jesus is still speaking here to you, to others in central Wisconsin through the radio waves, that more may come to receive the life that only Jesus can give. Today and every Lord's Day is the day of the Lord's visitation here at Zion, here in Wausau. Today and every Lord's Day is a day in which God is both here against you, against your sin, but also here to forgive you and to make you new, to heal your heart and your soul by the mighty work of his word. Each one of you individually, and all of your families, we are all up to bat in this generation. Will we strike out as the people of Nazareth did? That is to be determined. But the fact that you are here, that you are baptized, the fact that you believe the gospel truth as the truth of God is a sign and a promise that you'll be just fine. Because God will bring you home. I love hot dogs. I love apple pie. I love baseball. And I certainly love this country in which we live. But you know what I love more than all that? Jesus Christ. Only he can bring us home. He has hit the greatest grand slam of all time when he rose from the grave. And because he still lives and reigns and rules eternally at the right hand of the Father, therefore we shall always be a people of hope and joy. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.